and verse 20. When you're there, just say amen. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. The word of God here says, teaching them to observe all things. Everybody say all things. Whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I only have one verse of scripture to read to you tonight before we get started. Pointing out, teaching them to do what? To observe all things. I want to preach to you tonight on the simple subject entitled, I am with you. I am with you. Please remain standing, place your Bibles beside you, and let us go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for another opportunity to be present with you in the house of God. Lord, I ask now that we could be united in one mind and one accord for one purpose, and that is to give glory unto you. I pray now that you would help us in this place. Lord, I pray that you would permeate the darkness, break every stronghold, destroy every yoke, and loose the power of God to be free in this place, that lives would be changed, hearts would be changed, that things would be made new in the power of the Holy Ghost. Anoint me to speak and teach tonight in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you would heal bodies, heal minds, heal souls, and save souls tonight in Jesus' name. Could we clap one more time unto the Lord? You may be seated. May God bless you for being faithful to the house of the Lord. Here in our text verse tonight, we have a promise given to us by Jesus himself. It is Christ's assurance. He is giving us assurance. Jesus is giving us assurance. He is releasing assurance to those who are about his Father's business, in so many words. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me, which ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Looking at Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, some people might would just skim over it and not really look very deep. But if you look at the phraseology, the terminology, the way it is worded, you can surmise certain, it is safe to be able to pull certain understandings from the way the words are placed. He says, how is it? In other words, he is somewhat stunned. He is saying, now how can this be? How can this be that you sought me? Wist ye not? In other words, why was you out looking for me? How is it that you would go out and look for me in those places, not realizing, not knowing, not understanding where I really would be? He's saying now, it should have been a no-brainer. You should have known right off the bat where to look for me. I would be in the middle of my Father's business. In other words, he's saying, you don't have to look for me. If you'll just get into my Father's business, you would have found me. So we can also understand that the presence of God will be found, will be experienced in the middle of his business. So when we get in the middle of God's business, we will encounter the presence of the Almighty God. So here we have the understanding or the foundation of what I'm going to deal with for the next few minutes. Now let us go over the title once again. I am with you. Jesus thought it to be an odd thing for someone to seek him outside of the business of the kingdom. If we are going to find Jesus, it will be in the middle of kingdom business. He also makes it clear that he must be doing a certain work. If we're going to find him, we must be doing a certain work. And he also pronounces the same thing for himself. Now, he says, I must be about my Father's business. In other words, when he speaks this phrase in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, he doesn't say, I can be if I want to. He says, I would most likely be about my... No. He says, I must. Not even Jesus has an option here. So then what makes us believe that his church has an option? Is this okay? So here he makes it clear that I must be about my Father's business. Now, in our preliminary statements this evening, we must understand that Jesus is bound to, he is, if I could use this term, married to, he is in a oneness union with himself and the business of the kingdom of God. There is no separation. There is no brokenness in the link. There is no disconnection. There is a flowing or a fluid-like continuity between him and the business of the kingdom of God. So here we are finding out that there should not be any brokenness or any loose connection between the kingdom of God and the business of the kingdom of God. Okay? I don't want to labor this too much, but I do need a good foundation to begin on. If we are going to find Jesus, it will be in the midst of the business of the kingdom. He makes it clear that he must be. There is no other thing for him to be doing other than tending to the business of the kingdom. Those who are endeavoring to fulfill the Great Commission. This is where our verse is taken from this afternoon in Luke 28 and 20. Our verse is taken from the very last verse of the Great Commission found in the book of Matthew. And so when we look at this and understand those who are endeavoring to fulfill the Great Commission have this assurance upon their life that Jesus will be with you. When Jesus spoke the words, I am with you, he was speaking to a crowd of people that day. There was approximately 500 people there listening. And he was telling them that when you deal with the kingdom business, when you go out into the world and you're tending to the business of the kingdom of God, you may not see me in a physical form. You may not see me literally. But rest assured, this is what Jesus is telling those people. You can rest assured that I am with you. Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, the God that we serve is no different. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God that he was 2,000 years ago. His word is the same as it was then as it is now. We must understand if we want to be in the middle of the presence of God, if we want to be in the middle of the miraculous, if we want to be in the middle of the power of the Most High God, then let us get in the middle of the business of the Most High God. Can somebody clap your hands unto the Lord tonight? Can you bless the King of Kings right now? Can you lift him up right now? Oh, come on, somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice, go ahead and clap unto the Lord. Lift him up with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength in this place tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We must realize that it is still the same way. And the command is still the same way. And his anointing will be found in the same way. His power and demonstration will be exhibited and experienced in the same way.
We must understand that he was sending them a message. He was telling them something that they must understand and comprehend. He was sending them a message, not only as a group, but individually. He was telling them, I may be gone in physical form, but if you want me back, if you want me near you, if you want me to come and surround you and cover you and protect you and watch over you, then the best way to find me being active in your life is when you are active in my kingdom. Although Jesus was about to ascend up into heaven, he had no intentions of leaving the people. It is his desire. It is his will. It is his passion to keep you company, to keep us company, to be present with us. It is his desire. It never leaves him. It is with him continually to be present with his church. He says, I am with you. This assurance that Jesus gave to those involved in winning the lost souls in the kingdom, in the earth. Here in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 20, it is a great commission, and it's also found in Mark. It is also found in Luke. And then it is repeated after the fact in the book of Acts. So it's actually found four times in the Bible. But it is written, recorded three times before the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, was poured out. And so we see here that in these three Gospels, we have the Great Commission. It is imperative that God's kingdom understands the Great Commission. Now, there are philosophies and doctrines that circle our globe, and you are surrounded by them out when you go out into the world, and they will teach what you find in Matthew 28, 19, and it's generally taken out of context and created a doctrine off of one verse that was taken out of context. But let us not focus on this particular situation. The point here is that in the Great Commission, Jesus is calling people. He is opening the door. And I felt it important to preach this and teach this tonight, because the best way for people to find healings, the best way to see miracles in your life, the best way to get deliverances to come upon you, the best way to see the supernatural activity in your life is to step out into the kingdom and begin to perform the business of the kingdom. Go ahead. Bless the name of the Lord. I was praying some time ago and asking God certain things to do for you, and it seems like God began to develop this message in my heart. It seems like that the Lord began to tell me that the fastest way to get the people to be healed in their body, the fastest way to get the people to be delivered from demonic strongholds and tactics and devices of hell, the fastest way to get the people to become supernatural people for the benefit of the church instead of the detriment of the church, to get the people to be active in the power of God, the best way is to get them to be active in doing the work of the kingdom of God. And so, after some time, I asked the Lord to make sure, and tonight I feel that I am in the will of God preaching this lesson. However, it will confront philosophies of the carnal mind. It will confront you in various ways, and you might feel frightened. You might feel intimidated. You might feel very uncomfortable, because the enemy or the flesh or the carnal mind will try to keep you in handcuffs. The enemy of revival will try to keep you confounded and confined to a powerless state of inactivity. But the church must wake up and arise to the challenge and realize that we were not called, we were not chosen to sit still. We were not called and we were not chosen to be handcuffed. We were not called and we were not chosen to be confined to an inactivity. We were called and chosen to be powerful people, motivated through the supernatural demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. Oh, somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice tonight, come out of those chains and come out of those shackles and be loose to do the work of the Most High God. Can you bless Him tonight? Can you praise Him tonight? As a group, he was telling them to come and step in to the business of the kingdom. But on an individual basis, he was also telling them, if the group will not do it as a whole, then you have a private invitation to step out of the group and come on your own accord into the call and the work of the kingdom of the Lord. It is time to let these hands do the supernatural work that God has called them to do. It is time to let these feet bring you to those locations in which God has ordained to do a supernatural demonstration. Oh, somebody hear what I'm saying tonight. You are a child of God. You have a calling up on your life. You have a promise given to you that you can walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can have Him present with you wherever you go. But as long as you are about your Father's business, that is where the promise is. When we are reaching to a lost soul, when we're telling somebody, somewhere, wherever we are, that you don't have to live that way. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to be bound to sin. You don't have to be bound to shame. You don't have to be bound to drugs and promiscuity and all of these things. You don't have to go to hell. When we begin to do the work of God, the power of God is brought in to our presence, and He's covering us in the back. He's covering us above. He's covering us beneath. He's covering us in every kind of way. When hell begins to shoot the fiery darts at you, then the power of God becomes a shield and a protection for you. Oh, somebody hear what I'm trying to say tonight. When you're endeavoring to do the work of the Most High God, then the Most High God shows up. Can you praise Him? Can you love Him? One young man come to me and he said, Pastor, this was years ago. He said, I'm bound. I don't have freedom. And the Holy Ghost said, tell him to fast 7 days. I said, fast 7 days. He said, he come back. He said, I fasted 7 days. He says, but nothing's changed. I said, I didn't tell you it would be changed. I just told you to fast 7 days. He said, I don't understand. I says, now you're ready to be freed. He said, what shall I do? I said, you go right out on that street and you start getting a Bible study with whoever that'll say yes. And before you finish the Bible study, you'll be delivered. He said, I don't know how that's going to work. I said, you're too young in the scriptures to understand how it's going to work. But before he got through with the Bible study, he was delivered himself. We've got to realize that certain deliverances is only going to come as we are trying in the kingdom to deliver others. He doesn't give us the goosebumps, the thrills and the chills just for our own benefit. They're not supposed to just flow to us, but we're supposed to allow them to flow through us to other people. If we dam up a pond and we have fresh water flowing in, you're still going to end up with stagnation in some area of that pond because the water stops flowing. But if you will open a place and allow the water to flow through the pond, then it will rid itself of most all stagnation because the water is constantly flowing and new water's coming in, old water's going out, and there's a constant flow. Mount Pisgah, I don't want to be long tonight, but I want you to understand that in 2015, it's still the same way. It is still the same way. If we're going to prevent stagnation in our walk with God, if we're going to prevent stagnation in our relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if we're going to prevent stagnation in our church and in the assembly in which we come together, we're going to have to realize and understand that it's not just flowing to us. We've got to let it flow through us. In 2015, it's time to get our both hands on the work of the kingdom of God and not just let it stop here, but just let it flow through. Let me give you what I got last night. Let me tell you what I heard last night. Let me give you what the Lord had moved upon me. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Could you bless the name of the Lord tonight? Then he says, if you'll do these things, I am with you. Jesus was telling them, if you will win souls, I am with you. If you will go out and witness, I am with you. If you will teach them righteousness, I am with you. If you will teach them about me, I am with you. Do you get the point here? If you will walk among them and tell them of me, I am with you. If you will testify of me, I am with you. If you'll tell them about the power of the Holy Ghost, I am with you. In other words, if you want Jesus with you greater than he is with you now, you just go ahead and tell more people about Jesus. If you want to see more demonstrations of God in your life, you just tell more people about Jesus. If you want to see more activity of the Holy Ghost upon your life, you just go out and demonstrate more of the Holy Ghost. Jesus arose, is now alive. He's not dead, but he's alive. And is personally interested in being present with each and every one of his people. When we are at work about our Father's business, then this kind of conduct will draw his spirit unto us. It was some time ago. I don't really remember when it was, but it was a few months ago. The Lord said, go here, go there, do this, go do that. I found myself in a hospital. I was laying hands on an absolute total stranger. I didn't know who they were. They'd never seen me before. And so I'm standing in there, and the Lord didn't encourage me to do any of the kind of outreach type record keeping. I didn't even get names. I didn't get anything. He just said, I want you to step in here, tell them who you are, and ask him that if you would lay hands on them. I walked up to that bed, told that person who I was, and a family member walked out of the corner and come over. I introduced myself to that person, and then so on and so on, and finally we got it all the introduction done, and then I told them what I was there to do, and that person person was in a very, very bad situation. I laid hands upon this particular person, not knowing what God had in mind. But as I laid hands upon this person, I began to pray, and the power of God came in like I have not felt Him in a long time. And He moved upon this person. And the power of God was so great upon this person, I could see their clothes shaking. I began to see the hoses and the things that they had hooked to this person shaking. And I was trying to see if the person was shaking or if it was me shaking. But I realized that it was just the presence of the Lord moving in that place. And I began to hear somebody right beside me say, "Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my." And she began to go, "Shoo, shoo." And she was rubbing her arms, and she began to say, "I've never felt this. I've never felt this. I've never felt this." And so I'm trying to tell you that when we step out beyond our comfort zone, God is saying, "I am with you." Somebody somewhere tonight, under the sound of my voice, go beyond, go further than you've been before. Testify to somebody you never seen. Tell somebody you never know about Jesus. Tell them. Tell them, tell them, and you'll feel God in a way that you've never felt Him. Could somebody bless the name of the Lord? Come to find out, revisiting, I found that they were moved and brought into a place where they will recover. They will recover. At first there was no hope, but now there is. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. You and I don't know who they are, but God knows who they are. You see a strange face out there, but it's a familiar face to Jesus. Let us not get lost in the masses of strange faces, because they are very common to Jesus. They are valuable. And He is counting on you and me to come out of our comfort zone and to realize that when we step into an unfamiliar territory, "I am with you." The Holy Ghost will accompany each of us as we step into the supernatural territory. I may have told you this before, but I was a Sunday afternoon, and I went to the hospital because the Lord told me to go. And when the elevator door opened, there was a lady off to the left in the end of the hallway in a, like a love seat type piece of furniture, and she was a big old huge window behind her, and she was just in hysterical situation. Her sisters and brother was trying to comfort her and saying, "Daddy's lived a long life, and it's time for him to go now." And when I stepped out and I began to hear that, I just stopped, and it's not nice to stare, but God just stopped me, and I began to stare and listen to that, and all of a sudden He says, "That is what you are here for." I walked up to them, and I never had to tell them who I was. The lady that was crying so much, she said, "You a minister, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Will you pray for my dad?" Her brother just shook his head. Her sister said, now come on. She says, "No, I'm not going to pass up this opportunity." And she caught me by the hand, and we walked probably less than 100 feet. And we went into a room. There was a very elderly man in that bed, and his wife was laying over the foot of the bed. And I thought, "Lord, maybe her siblings are right." And then it dawned on me that I've sent you here for this reason. I laid hands on that man, and he woke up. And I kept praying. And I began to pray verses, Bible verses. And as I got through quoting Acts 2:38 he was speaking in other tongues as God gave the utterance. Mount Pisgah, if we will do it, he will be with us. Hurry, and tonight we must understand that, let us notice, let us remember that Jesus was typically called a teacher in many occasions in Scripture. And now in our text verse, he passes the mantle. I wish somebody just reach up and catch that mantle. In our text verse, he catches the mantle on to, or passes it on to those who will endeavor to feel the shoes and reach for the lost in our dying world today. Jesus in Matthew 28 and 20 is directing his followers to his work, to assume his business. He is telling them it must not stop here, but it must continue on. So in other words, the great teacher is saying to the people in Matthew 28 and 20 that you have become the great teacher now. You are the one that I have commissioned and sent out. In 2015, the baton has fell in our hand, and we are the church of the Almighty God, and we are the ones that are holding the mantle, and we are the ones that are anointed and appointed by the power of the Holy Ghost to be great teachers in 2015. Oh, it's time for great teachers to arise out of the congregations of the apostolic movement and teach the masses of the truth of Jesus Christ. Somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice needs to raise up and say, let me tell you, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, somebody, I wish you would take that fear off of you tonight. Take that bashfulness off of you tonight and get a hold to the anointing of the great teacher and say, it's mine. He said, I can have it. He said, I can have it. Let us notice that Matthew's account commenced. It began in Matthew 1 and 23 with using the word Emmanuel, which means God with us. And now, as we are studying the very last verse of the book of Matthew, we see that Matthew says it again. I am with you, even unto the end of the earth. As we go through this land spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, things happen. I said things happen. Some time ago, I was asked to go pray for some people. I drove several hours to go. I don't know if those people ever been here or not. They live 190 something miles at least. So I go. I walk in a very dark room. There's an infant laying there. The infant is practically lifeless. There's a room with lights, a console completely surrounding the baby, and the baby's just laying there. It looks terrible. The baby had some kind of situation, couldn't be exposed to practically nothing. And so they finally let me in. The family told them, do it. Then I brought an anointing bottle of oil. They didn't know anything about that. They didn't understand that. So I gave them a little mini Bible study. I said, wherever you think it's safe, I'll anoint that baby with that oil. And the lady said, well, we'll just humor them. I thought, ma'am, it's a lot more than that. And I laid hands on that baby, and that baby was healed. It bothers me that God has not allowed me to do or use me to do any what I call great work right here locally. But it has a lot to do with our faith. We've got to go beyond religion, and we got to go beyond tradition, and we got to go to the power. We got to get plugged into the power of God. The salvation is not what you think it is if you don't think it's deliverance. Salvation is deliverance. Salvation will deliver you from drugs. Salvation will deliver you from alcohol. Salvation, it must deliver you. It must deliver you. I said salvation must be allowed to deliver us from anything that is unholy and ungodly. Somebody somewhere get an understanding. How can we deliver deliverance to people and not remain delivered ourselves? It will not work if we'll get into the business of delivering those that are captive around us. We'll maintain deliverance of our own. Oh, somebody understand the power and the richness and the glory of delivering the gospel to the lost and dying world that is around us. If you want deliverance in your body, deliver deliverance to somebody. If you want deliverance in your life, deliver deliverance to somebody. Bring the gospel to the lost and dying world, and the power of the gospel will remain present with you. Can somebody get a hold of this tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to be healed in your body, you just get up enough faith to go lay hands on somebody else and let it pass through you to them. On the way to them, a miracle's going to happen in you. Oh, come on. Get a hold of that. If you'll be about my business, I will be with you. If you'll go tell them, I'll back you up. I'll be present with you. As we go through his land spreading the gospel of Jesus, demons arise up. Sickness may come our way. We may face many things, but we have this assurance. If we are doing our best to teach the world around us to observe all things, whatsoever Jesus has commanded us to teach, then lo, I am with you. How far? To the end of the earth. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He realizes it's in the battle is when he's got God with him. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. No matter what your condition, Mount Pisgah, no matter what your condition, if we are doing our best to teach the world around us to observe all things that he has taught, whatsoever Jesus has commanded us to teach, then no matter your condition, he is with you. He cares for you. He watches over you. Jesus watches with concern. He sees every detail of life's trials and struggles and gives both the grace that is sufficient and his presence to guide us through the trouble. When we put ourselves in the right company, he will show up. When we put ourselves in the right company, in other words, we go back to our text verse. Well, one of the verses I used early in the message. He said, how is it, if I can paraphrase and add emphasis, how is it that you look for me all out there when you know where I would be? In other words, the right company for Jesus is the business of the kingdom. Mount Pisgah, when we're taking care of the right business, when we're in the right company, when we're in the right presence, doing the right thing, we're going to have the power of God surrounding our lives. One man went so far as to say, I've got this sickness in my life. I'm going to find me a man that's got the same sickness. And when I lay hands on him, God's going to heal him. But as he heals him, he's got to pass through me to do it. And that same power that's on the way to that man is going to heal me before it ever gets to him. That's how much he believed it. So instead of laying up in a bed somewhere saying, oh me, oh my, poor, poor, pitiful me, he come out of the bed and he said, all I got to go do is muster up the power and lay a hands on somebody that needs God, and God's going to pass through me on his way to them, and I'm going to be healed, and I'll be delivered, and I'll be made whole, and that man's going to get up. Do you understand what the point here is? If you want to keep our pipes clean, all we got to do is minister the gospel to the world. And as the power of God has to flow through us to the world around us, the glory, His riches and wealth and wonder and beauty has to pass through us. I don't have time to teach it all, and it would be a series, at least 20 tapes. But in order for the miraculous to pass through us, we have to have humbleness, meekness, holiness, righteousness, compassion. And that man just realized that when I get a hold of that soul that needs Jesus so desperately, and I pray and I fast to the place where I can change his life, mine will be changed in the process. Why you didn't know where to find me? How is it you would search anywhere else? Why do we look for Jesus in so many places? Why can one God, Jesus' name, apostolic people wander around saying, I don't know where he is? If you want to find him, do his business. If you want to discover him, do his business. If you want him in a richer way and a more powerful way, get more involved in his kingdom and do his work. When we put ourselves into the right company, he will show up. In Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. When we get together in the name of Jesus, he is with us. Jesus spoke through the Holy Ghost to remind that he is still with those who are working to bring revival to the earth. In Acts 18 and 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. This is our answer to every fear. Find somebody and reach out to them. Find somebody. Teach them a Bible study. Lay hands on them and pray for them. Encourage them. If you can't feel him, teach somebody a Bible study about searching for him. Maybe this is like an airplane. Maybe it goes over. But when we get involved in the kingdom, he's going to get involved with you. I said, when we get involved with the kingdom business, he's going to get involved with you. As we are fulfilling the Great Commission, we can rest assured that in every fear, every heartache, in every trial, in every discouragement, Jesus is with you. This book of Matthew opens telling us that in the name of Jesus, God is with us. And it closes, its closing remarks in Matthew reminds us that if we will work together in the name of Jesus, fulfilling the gospel's commission, then God will continue to be with us. Mount Pisgah, one of the greatest trials you might ever come upon is delivering the gospel. But the greatest events that you will ever see God perform will be while you are delivering the gospel. It's quiet in this place tonight. The title of the lesson that I've taught tonight is simply, I am with you. In 2015, with the world coming apart as it is, we need to realize that time is short. And if we're not ready to meet Him, we need to repent of our sin. And we need to be buried in water in the name of Jesus for one reason, and that's to get our sins washed away. We need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues as God gives the utterance. We must be born again, people. If you haven't yet been born again, then tonight on a Wednesday night, I make a call for somebody to step out and say, here I am, God. I need you. I need the delivering power of the Holy Ghost. I'm desperate. I've got to be forgiven. I've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've got to be filled with your Spirit. But at the same time, on a Wednesday night, I'm coming to a congregation of people that may be wandering around looking for Jesus, and you're wondering where the power, where's the glory, where's the peace, where's the answers to prayers, where is He? Let me remind you, He is in the middle of the business of the kingdom of God. If you'll get in there, if you'll get in there, you'll find it. If you get involved, you'll find it. If you get in there, you'll find it. Would you stand with me all over this place tonight? The altars are open. Whether you're a saint, sinner, member, or visitor, whoever you are, if you need God tonight, or if you just need to find Him on another level, the altars are open. I wonder if you would step out. I wonder if you would come. Repent of sin if you need to repent of sin. If you've never been buried in water in Jesus' name for the remission of sin, then we can bury you in water tonight in Jesus' name to wash your sins away. In the name of Jesus. Oh, that's it. Let the Spirit of the Lord move. In the name of Jesus, let the Spirit of the Lord move. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, let the Spirit of the Lord move on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week. Let your tears flow. Let your heart break. Ask the Lord, how can you reach somebody tomorrow? How can you touch somebody tomorrow? How can you move into the kingdom of God? If you want Jesus to come to you, many times He's waiting until He can pass through you. Oh, hallelujah. Yes! Move out the barriers. Move out the hindrances. Move out the sin and the things that would be hindering Him to flow through you. And as He flows through you, He will minister to you. Oh, yala boko yata. As He flows through you, He will minister to you. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.